Well, amen. Praise the Lord that we can calmly rest in Him. Thankful for His care in our lives and how He watches over us. And again, what a blessing it is to be here today. I'm thankful for the music of our church. Thankful for powerful music that has a message. There's something behind it. It's not just people getting up here and singing, but singing a message of the Lord. And we're grateful for that. And I'm grateful once again that you're here. If you'll take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 11 this morning, Matthew chapter 11. And again, looking forward to all that God would have for us throughout today. And as I began to pray about the message this week, the Lord laid this passage on my heart. And so once you've found your place in Matthew chapter 11, if you're able to stand this morning, I invite you to stand for the reading of God's word. And Jesus here is speaking in verse 28 of Matthew chapter 11. He says this, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's pray and then you can be seated. Lord, as we do come before you today, we're grateful, Lord, for who you are. Lord, the song this morning is a powerful reminder that we can just simply rest in you. Lord, the words from your dear Son says to come to him, Lord, and he will give us rest. Lord, as I think about our congregation and I think about those here in this world, Lord, I'm reminded that we are a world full of hurting people. Lord, you truly are the answer for that. Lord, I pray that you'd help us this morning, Lord, to lay aside everything that we have and simply to come to you. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help me as I preach. Lord, I'm so thankful for everyone that's gathered here today. Lord, I know they did not come just to waste their time. Lord, they've come to hear from you, and I pray that you would speak through me and help me. Lord, I love you, and I'm thankful for you, and I'm grateful for your word, and I pray that you'd help us now. In your name I pray, amen. And you can be seated. We find here in this passage that Jesus offers rest for those who choose to come to him. It's a choice that we must make. He offers rest to this. And here in this passage, he addresses two groups of people. He addresses those who labor and those who are heavy laden. By the way, that description probably would encompass just about every person in this room today. Those that are laboring, they're dealing with toil and difficulty in this life, and those that are heavy laden, they're carrying burdens today. And I'm just reminded today that in this life, we go through difficulty, don't we? So he says, come to me, and here's the promise, I will give you rest. There's really two invitations here in this passage that I want to present to you this morning. The first invitation is found in verse 28. It's the invitation to come to Jesus. The invitation to come to Jesus. You see that he says there in verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Can I tell you this morning, it's an open invitation, first and foremost. Isn't that a wonderful thought this morning? It's open. He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. It's not given to one specific people group or a certain class of society. It's an open invitation. A wonderful thought this morning. I was thinking a couple of years ago, actually on a couple different occasions, a group from our church had an opportunity to attend what's called the Capital Connection in Washington, D.C. And it was during the President Trump administration, and so of course, his vice president was Vice President Pence, and you'll remember obviously that Vice President was the governor here, and so some of our group, some of the group that was traveling from Indiana had some connections with some of his people there, some of the staff that used to be here in the state that went with him. And so we received an exclusive invitation to come to the vice president's ceremonial office. It's just adjacent, literally is on the White House grounds, just adjacent to the West Wing. It was pretty incredible that when we exited the building, they brought us downstairs and we were right across the street from the West Wing. I mean, you could see people coming and going out of there. It was an incredible experience. And the reason we were invited is because during the vice president's time there in Washington, on a weekly basis, he facilitated a Bible study right there in his office. It was a blessing to know that a man that high in the land was having a Bible study, and he'd bring a preacher in. And so we got there that day, and of course we had to fill out a federal background check. I mean, a month or so in advance, some of our group was excluded from going in. I won't tell you, I'm just kidding. We were all able to go in. We all passed. But we went in, and of course you passed through security, and there was probably 25 to 30 in our group, at least that first year. And we got in there, and the pastor came in, and he began to conduct a Bible study. And about 15 minutes later, in walks the vice president. It was awesome. It was an incredible thing. And he didn't just come and say hello. No, he sat down at the table and began to participate in the Bible study and spent about 30 to 40 minutes there participating in the Bible study. And then afterwards, he took some time. He gave us his personal testimony. He told us about the day that he got saved. And then he, of course, took some pictures with us. But I remember there was probably about 1,000 people from all the different states that had come together for this Capital Connection. And I remember that night at the service as we met with them, many of them said, man, I wish I would have had an invitation to that. I wish I would have loved to have that opportunity. And truly, it was a great honor. But I'm reminded this morning as I read our text that while it's a great memory that I have to have had the opportunity to be in the same room as the vice president, I'm reminded this morning, it pales in comparison to the fact that I get to meet with Almighty God on a daily basis. And he says, come to me, that we have an open invitation to his throne, that we can come to him. And I want you to understand this morning, the invitation goes out, that all are invited. It's an open invitation. I also see that it's an invitation to salvation. What a wonderful thought. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He invites you into a personal relationship with him and into salvation. And yet the idea there this morning is that you must come to him. It's the first step. Understand this morning, that Jesus will not force himself upon you. He'll come to you and he'll convict you and give you an opportunity to hear from him. But you must choose. It's an invitation to come to him. And yet I'm reminded today that many don't take that step, because they like to think that they're in control. Listen, as humans, don't we like to think that we have it all together? We have all the answers. I'm good. I can take care of things. And yet I'm reminded today, as Jesus presents himself to this world, there are so many that realize it's an invitation to salvation, and all they have to do is take the first step, and yet they won't, because they think they have it all together. Listen, I don't know everybody that's here today. And I would imagine in a crowd this size, there may be someone here that doesn't know Jesus Christ personally. And maybe you've tried in your own good works or you're in your own strength to get to heaven, and you've wondered and you've hoped. Friend, I want to tell you this morning that God loves you so much that he sent his son to come to this earth. Came to die on a cross for your sins, not so that you could earn heaven in your own strength, because you never could, but that you could simply call on him and he would save you. The blood of Jesus Christ, as was sung this morning, it cleanses us from our sins. There is only one way to the Father. That's through the Son. It's an invitation to salvation. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation is the last book of the Bible. Chapter 22 is the last chapter of the Bible. And near the end, Jesus issues one final invitation. He says in verse 17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come." And then I love this. "And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Amen. Listen, the invitation goes out today. It's an invitation to salvation. Stop trying to live life in your own strength. Stop trying to earn your way to heaven. Stop trying to be good enough and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Amen. Allow his blood to cleanse you of your sin. But we find we must take the first step. It's an open invitation. It's an invitation to salvation. And then I find it's an invitation for his help. An invitation for his help. I mentioned that he addresses two groups, those who labor and those who are heavy laden. That idea of laboring is to grow weary with the toil and burdens of this life. Then those that are heavy laden, it's those that have tried to be good enough, tried to work hard, tried to do this and to that and say, if I can just be good enough, maybe I'll earn heaven. He says they're carrying around a burden of their own righteousness that you were never intended to carry around. You could never be good enough. It's an invitation to his help. Can I tell you, this morning we live in a world full of hurt and pain. I remember where I was when God laid this message on my heart, and immediately just I was reminded of person after person, both in our congregation and those who I've met recently, that are simply dealing with hurt and pain. We live in a difficult world. Couldn't help but notice as the songs were being sung this morning, tears were flowing in your eyes because you understand this. Listen, we have burdens as we live this life, and we're so thankful for the help that only he can give us. And yet, can I tell you this morning, we live in a hurting world. This morning, you're carrying burdens, you're carrying difficulties that you come in here with. And by the way, as if life isn't difficult enough, then there are those that are doing all they can to somehow measure up. They're saying, this is where God is, and that's where I want to go, so I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And then all of a sudden, they fail in one area. And so it's almost like they take two steps forward or one step forward and two steps back because they're trying to carry this burden of their own righteousness. They're heavy laden. And I tell you, in our text, Jesus is addressing those that are living life without his help. He's saying you're trying to live life. Maybe you're unsaved and you're trying to work your way to heaven. Or even as a saved individual, you're trying to handle this situation and that situation. And I want to remind you, listen, we were never intended to live this life without his help. Listen, Christian, this morning, you need a Savior. Listen, we don't need just a Savior just on the day of our salvation. I'm so grateful for the fact the Lord saved me. I'm so grateful that he is the Savior. But can I tell you, listen, if only you look to the Savior on the day of your salvation, you're missing out so much of his help. You need a Savior every day of your life. You need his help as you live this life. You cannot live it on your own. You cannot do it in your own strength. We need a Savior to help us to be saved because as a sinner, we fall short. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need a Savior for our salvation, but we need a Savior because we need his help as we live this life. I love Psalm 121 and verse 1. The psalmist says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Then he says this, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Think about the fact of the one who desires to help you. He's created everything that we see. I'm amazed when I look at the beauty of creation. I'm amazed that you get to travel around and see all that God has created and the creativity and the power and the excellence and all that. And that's who desires to be your helper. The psalmist says, I'll look to him because I need his help in my life. He says, come to me not only for salvation, but you need my help to live this life. And then I love this because we find it's also an invitation that leads to rest. That word rest, it carries with it the idea of peace. Being able to go through some of the difficulties of this life and just have the peace of God. I was reminded again this week, we live in a tumultuous world. The current events of our day, we're wondering, you know, what's happening over here? And what's going on, and how does this all end? And can I tell you, the Christian can be at peace with God. And just have his hand upon us and realize that God is in control of all things. And God is often working through situations. But he makes this promise. He says, you come to me, you do that. That's the easy part. And he says, I'll do the rest. I'll take care of you. I'll meet you where you are, and I'll bring you to me. Isn't that a wonderful thought this morning? It's an invitation that leads to rest. I love that word rest. It means to cause or permit one to cease from any movement or labor in order to recover and collect his strength. Listen, the deal here is sometimes we try to manufacture things. We try to work so hard in certain areas. And we're doing it in our own strength and in our own abilities. And Jesus says, listen, just come to me. I will give you rest. I'll give you the opportunity to be able to have that peace, which the Bible says passes all understanding. Last Sunday evening, Pastor preached on rest. And certainly there are times of rest that are needed. And we think about times of vacation and just as Jesus took his disciples into a desert place, what a wonderful blessing that is. We think about the week of creation. The established week of creation is this, 6 days of labor and one day of rest. By the way, on that one day of rest, what do? We worship Almighty God. Because that's where true rest comes from, and in worshiping him, acknowledging him, and in his power and his help in our lives. So there's understanding that we need times of rest, but I also, you know, want you to also understand this morning that daily we're to come to him. We're to come to him in our toils, and we're to come to him in when we're burdened down. You may be carrying a burden this morning. You may be carrying a difficulty this morning. Can I tell you, we're to daily come to him to find the rest that he desires. It's an acknowledgement that I need your help. I cannot live life in my own strength and in my own ability. And he promises, listen, I will give you rest. I remind you this morning, you weren't meant to live this life alone. You're not powerful enough. You're not strong enough to live this life in your own strength, both as an unsaved person and then when you receive the Savior. You weren't intended to live the Christian life in your own strength. You need his help. So it's an invitation, first of all, to come to him. And then I love this as we move through this passage in verse 29, we find another invitation, and it's an invitation to know Jesus personally. Look what he says in verse 29. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. He says, I want you to give you an invitation to come to me. But then when you come to me, then learn of me. Spend time with me. Get to know me. He says, take my yoke upon you. That word yoke, it's a coupling device. I suppose we maybe have seen pictures of one of these, and maybe you've seen one maybe at an antique mall or something like that, but the idea of a yoke is it would take two oxen, and it would put them together so that you could harness the power of both of those oxen to accomplish something. And I was just reminded what an incredible thought that is, that Lord God Almighty says, take my yoke upon you. In other words, allow your life to be placed within my yoke. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't have anything to offer him as far as strength is concerned, but he has everything to offer to us. His incredible power that he decides and he says, listen, here's the invitation, take my yoke upon you. Come to me. Can I tell you, just as we are to come to him, then we are to take his yoke upon us. That means we are not to live this life in our strength. Paul would write, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, he'd say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He says, if I have any ability, it's not in my own strength, in my own power. It's in Christ's strength. Listen, as you think about some of the things you'll deal with even this week, think about some of the burdens, some of the issues that you have in your life. Listen, your strength is no match for those things. But I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I might just remind you that Paul wrote that from a Roman prison. Paul would take a pen, and listen, it would have been easy possibly for Paul to sit there and have a pity party for himself and say, Lord, I was serving you, and this is where I'm at. Woe is me. We like to have pity parties for ourselves, don't we? Go through difficulty, and we go through trials, and we think, Lord, I'm just doing my best here, and Lord, couldn't you make a way? Couldn't you help me through this? But I love this because Paul could have had a pity party looking to his own strength. But Paul looked to Christ's strength. He said, Lord, help me. Give me the strength. And by the way, God would use him in that moment to write four of the New Testament epistles. Powerful books. Look, the book of Philippians is an incredible book. And God would use him. Why? Because he traded his strength for Christ's strength. When we look to Christ, he says, this is what you'll learn. He says, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. And this is what we learn when we spend time with Christ. He says this, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You realize that Christ is giving us a picture of the inner him? What you are at your heart is who you truly are. I think about sometimes you meet someone and they put on a gruff exterior. They put on a facade, and for whatever reason, maybe they don't want to get too close to people. And so they put on this exterior, but the more you get to know them, sometimes you just find out they're just a big teddy bear. They put on this big, gruff exterior, and yet when you get to know the real them, the heart of them, you find it's really all a facade. I think all of us are familiar with the idea of of maybe as you meet someone, and I'm not saying you're judging them, but just based on a first impression, you in your mind, you've already made assumptions about that person. And the more you get to know them, how many of you, I mean, you think about this in your own mind, you've met somebody and you thought something about them and then you got to know the real them and you realized it was completely different than what you thought at the beginning. Why? Because we get to know somebody. We know what their heart is. We begin to understand who they are. And by the way, there have been some that I've learned what was in their heart and I didn't like them as much as I thought I did. And yet the opposite is true. And some you meet, and you at first you're like, I'm not sure we're going to get along. And you get to know them more, and you see the real them, and you like them in greater ways, because you understand what's in their heart. And Jesus says, listen, when you begin to spend time with me, you begin to learn who I am at the very heart. He says, this is what you find. You find that I'm meek and I'm lowly. That idea of meek is that idea of gentleness, compassion. The more you spend time around Jesus, you sense his heart of compassion for a fallen world. That gentleness that he desires to have. He says, I'm lowly. That idea of lowly is that idea of humility or humble or if you would say it this way, accessible. In other words, listen, God Almighty sent his son here to this earth through a heart of compassion, and he desires, listen, he's not some mystique or some mysterious figure somewhere that we can't get too close to. No, he says, get as close to me as you can, and you'll learn who I am in my very heart. You'll find that I am meek and lowly, a heart of compassion. I love reading through the Gospels, because when you read the Gospels, you find that Jesus has a heart of compassion towards those that are hurting. And by the way, he never once rejects those that come to him. He says that he gives this invitation, but I can tell you there's a track record over and over in the Gospels that everyone that came to Jesus, he received them and he accepted them because of his heart of compassion for them. I think about the Samaritan woman. Here's a woman living in the very act of adultery. But it's not just in this moment, but no, it's for years. I mean, her entire life has been wrapped up in this idea of adultery. And what do we find? We find that Jesus has compassion on her. He looks to her, he says, this is a woman that's a sinner in need of a Savior, and he has a heart of compassion on her, and he brings her to himself. I think about Zacchaeus, the one who lived to cheat and steal from people. I don't know about you, but I'm not sure there's much lower of an individual that would live here in this life than someone that lives to cheat and steal from people. I think about those that might run scams and those kind of things. And yet, that's exactly who Zacchaeus was. And when Jesus saw him, when he came to Jesus, Jesus didn't reject him. He had a heart of compassion on him. He said, he's a sinner in need of a Savior. He needs me. And Jesus got involved in his life. I think about the maniac of Gadara. He's possessed with demons. The devil has overpowered his life, probably from the time he was a little child. And yet, Jesus doesn't reject him. He has a heart of compassion for him. He looks on him with a heart of love because that's who Jesus is. It's in his heart. He looks on us with a heart of compassion. I think about his heart as he's seen comforting his disciples out in a great storm. He says, don't be afraid because I care for you. I desire to go with you through the storms of your life. His heart is seen as he promises to never leave us nor forsake us. Have you ever challenged that principle there? Because you'll find that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Everywhere you go, as you look to him, he will be there for you. This is Jesus to those who come to him. He says, when you come to me, when you learn of me, this is what you find. You find that I am meek and I am lowly. I'm compassionate. I'm gentle. I have the ability to be in your life and to work with you. Understand this, he desires to be with you through life's difficulties. It's not like God saves us and then just puts us out here in this life and says, you figure it out. You go through this trial. No, God desires to go through that trial with you. He desires to be a help to you. I think about the marriage relationship and how wonderful God desires that to be. And he says, I'll help you. I'll help you to be the husband that you desire to be. I'll help you to be the wife that you desire to be. I think about the family and children and raising them. And listen, can I tell you, in our own strength, we would mess that up. But Jesus says, I desire to help you. desire to give you the wisdom that you have need of. You're carrying this burden. I desire to help you as you carry that burden. I love this. Jesus desires to be with us in the middle of the night when we can't sleep. Your heart's heavy. You're dealing with something in your life. And where do you find Jesus? He's right there with you. Desires to be your strength in the middle of that. Can I tell you, we find here in this passage, when we look to Jesus, we learn of him, and he says this, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Can I tell you, the more I spend time with Jesus, the more I'm at peace with what's going on in my world. Not just in my personal life, but I mean everywhere around us. Isn't that what God desired for us as Christians, that we would be able to live for him and live mightily? In our Sunday school lesson this morning, we studied Daniel living in Babylon. And he took a stand because he had the peace of God in his life. And everywhere we go, as we look around at this difficulty and that difficulty, can I tell you, the more we spend time with Jesus, we find that rest, that rest that he desires for our souls. I want you to turn over to Mark chapter 4. We're almost done. We'll be done here in just a few moments. Mark in chapter 4. Jesus gives us a powerful picture here. Verse 37, he's out on the water with his disciples. They're on a boat. The Bible says in verse 37, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. They're out in the storm, and the wind has brought the waves into the boat so that the boat is about to go under. It'd be a time of fearfulness. But look at verse 38. Because we see two different reactions to this. Verse 38, and he, Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. You talk about being at rest. I mean, the boat's about to go down. And Jesus is sleeping. And then we find the disciples, and they awake him. And I'm thinking, yes, they awake him. And they say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now, I want you to understand, there's two different situations going on here. There's Jesus who's asleep in the boat because he's in control of the storm. He doesn't have a care in the world because he knows he has the power to help with that storm. And then you have the disciples that are running frantically, and it's not there in the text, but I can just imagine. I mean, they're doing all they can. I mean, maybe they're taking their hands and trying to get the water out of the boat. Maybe they got buckets, and maybe they're tossing their luggage aside. Who knows what's going on here? But it's not until they come to Jesus, because they realize he's the answer to that. And the Bible says in verse 39, he rose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And watch this. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Immediately, peace. But look at verse 40, because this is such a convicting verse. He said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? You see, we're like the disciples. We're in the midst of this, and I mean, we're fretting about this situation over here. We're saying, what are we going to do about this thing over here? And can I tell you, like Jesus, we ought to be really just resting calmly because we understand we have a relationship with the one who can do all things. He has all power. And I can't help but think that Jesus sometimes is saying to us, why are you so fearful? Don't you have faith? Am I not your father? Do I not have all power? Did I not save you? Did I not do the greatest miracle you've ever experienced in your life when I brought you from death to life? And now you're going to worry and fret about this situation? Just come to me. Just bring it to me. Let me take care of it. How is it that ye have no faith? Can I tell you, when we look to Jesus, our soul can be at rest. It can be at rest in the midst of a chaotic world. It can be a rest when we're carrying the burdens and the toils of this life. It can be a rest when we go through this issue and through that issue, and it seems like we can never catch a break. Can I tell you, we can still be at rest when we come to Jesus, because we find that he desires to be in our life. Can I tell you, he's not unapproachable. He's not disinterested in your life. He's not disinterested in the little details. You might say, well, that's just too much to take to, or too little to take to Jesus to bother him with, or maybe that's too much. He's not disinterested. Listen, he's very invested in your life. He's given everything for you. He desires to help you through the difficulties of this life. So we learn of him and we find the rest that our soul needs. Spurgeon said it this way: first, we rest by faith in Jesus. Place our faith and trust in Jesus. We have that peace that comes from knowing we have a relationship with him. And next, we rest through obedience to him, just simply walking with him and spending time with him. It's what he desires. And so this morning, he invites us to come to him. But you must choose to come. Let me ask you today, are you laboring? Do you feel like you're heavy laden? I mean, you're carrying this burden and that burden. I just want to remind you this morning, you weren't intended to carry that burden in your own strength. God didn't allow that to come into your life so that you could figure it out on your own. No, he allowed it to come into your life so that you would look to him. And so it's time that we begin to look to him. The invitation goes if we'll just simply come to him. Perhaps you're doing the best to navigate life. And you'd say this, I'm not doing a real great job of it. I'm doing the best I can. He says, you don't have to do the best you can. You need to look to me, and I'll help you. Jesus says, come unto me. You come to me, and I will give you rest. Listen, if you don't know Jesus this morning, if you aren't saved today, stop trying to be good enough. Stop trying to figure out in your own strength how you can be good enough to earn to heaven or maybe give enough money or do enough things to be able to help yourself. Stop trying and come to him. He says, I'll receive you and I'll give you rest. And for those that are saved, he says, learn of me. Take my yoke upon you. Find my strength. Stop trying as a Christian to handle this situation in your own strength. Stop trying to be the spouse that you want to be in your own strength and allow his help in your life. Stop trying to be the parent in your own strength. Stop trying to do this and to do that. Stop trying even to minister in your own strength and allow his strength to come upon you. He says, come to me. Jesus offers rest this morning, but we must choose to come to him first and foremost. And then when we've come to him, we must choose to learn of him, spend time with him. And we find who Jesus is at his very heart. Can I tell you this morning, the most important thing you can do is this. Come to him if you're not saved. And if you are saved, learn of him. Spend time with him. Allow his heart to be shown fully and completely to you. Transfer your burdens to him. Help take upon his strength upon your life. Come to him and learn of him. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. A simple message, but a powerful truth. And this morning, I don't know what you're dealing with, but some just need to come to this altar. You need to come to him here at this place. And if you're not saved today, please don't leave without knowing Jesus Christ personally. We have workers up in the front that'll take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you'd spend eternity with God in heaven. Turn to him. Allow him to take you. This morning, as we come and we do business here with God, may we simply come to Jesus. Lord, as we come to you today, we're so grateful, Lord, that you give this open invitation to us. I pray that you'd help us now, Lord. Help us to look to you. Maybe there is someone here in this room that's hurting today. They're dealing with a difficulty. Lord, I pray that they would not leave without coming and doing business with you. I pray if there's someone here that doesn't know you as their Savior, Lord, I pray that they would come today and allow someone to take a Bible and show them how they can know for sure they're going to spend eternity with God in heaven. Lord, help us to make the decisions that need to be made. We love you and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray, amen.